Turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter. We're talking about church priority. Who could tell me what P stands for? Church priority. What does P stand for?
Pursuing God.
Pursuing God. Absolutely. What does R stand for? Rebuilding our altars. What does that mean? Pursuing God is self-explanatory, but what does rebuilding our altars mean? It means consecrating and rededicating ourselves as a local body to the will of God. I. Investing our lives where? Into each other. Into each other. Oh. Overcoming obstacles. Nothing's going to stop the church. We overcome everything. R. Removing those obstacles. It's one thing to overcome and that obstacle comes around. It's once and for all to remove those obstacles by destroying them so that they have no place. It cannot be rebuilt against us. And today we're going to talk about I. Invading the enemy's territory. Matthew 11:12 says, "So from these days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." Or, "The kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." God has designed this end-time move of His Spirit to be an invasion of His kingdom from heaven into earth, and it started over 2,000 years ago when His Son came to earth as a man, lived amongst us without sin, declaring that the kingdom of God is at hand. That was meant to be a rallying call for the believers that God was soon going to manifest in reality what we know in the Spirit as His kingdom, His authority, His sovereignty, everything. And until the church gets its act together, it will not happen. In recent years, God has exposed the nakedness of the church. He has shown that divorce within the church is roughly between 50% and 60%, same as the world's. He has shown us that homosexuals are now being ordained in certain denominations without repentance. Pedophilia amongst the priests is running rampant, where they bring their own desires and their carnal appetites and feast upon the flock of God at the expense of God's innocence and those who are weak. Adultery and sexual promiscuity is rampant among the people of God. Greed, the love of money, has seduced the people of God so much that the spirit of materialism has invaded, and even worse, has been invited into the church and into our homes. Men are not given to the things of God. They don't care about winning souls of the lost. They don't care about the less fortunate. They care about me, myself, and I. That's it. Our children are being raised in either a single parent family, or parents that are cohabitating out of marriage, or in a home without parents, meaning that they're there but they're absent. They don't take responsibility for the care and nurturing of their children. And being raised by grandparents or guardians, because the parents are in such a state. Teen pregnancy and venereal disease is on the rise amongst the youth of our people. Sicknesses and diseases and drug addiction and all kinds of medical maladies beset the people of God. the church, which is supposed to be representative of the kingdom of heaven on earth, is being assaulted. And very few are concerned about it, her condition, except for zealots like me. Where are the violent men and women of God who will battle this assault and drive it from the church so that she can arise once again and make a difference in the world? It is the priority of the church, because God has made the mandate and commissioned the church to go ye into all the world. Go ye all into the world. The moment you wake up is the moment you are in warfare. What you do matters to the king and to his kingdom, because you are servants of his. Not only are you his children, you are servants of his. And when we come together, we have to understand that the good news is not a feel-good message. The good news of Jesus Christ is God forgives our rebellion if we will repent and turn to him. In that rebellion and turning to him, we become born again, which is what happened to Kim. She's a new creation. But some of us carry this mindset that I can still do whatever I feel like doing and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. Well, I hate to disappoint you. I'll give you how it breaks down. God talks and he speaks to me. And I have the right to speak into your lives. That's how spiritual covering works. Am I right, Mia? I have the right to do that. I do not abuse that right, because I believe that it's the job of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to God's people, and I would rather teach you than to have to rebuke you and then discipline you. You see, what we have is a mindset that is not godly in the house of God. And that ungodly mindset is perpetuated in our children. When we are disobedient in coming into the presence of God, we don't really realize what that presence means and who we're coming to be with for that time. And we need to instruct ourselves in how to conduct ourselves in the presence of a holy God, a righteous God, and then teach our children to do likewise. Jesus is not taken aback by this. He has given us his word. He has spoken to us, and he has warned us that we are in the days that are very, very dangerous for the people of God. Just because you lay claim to the name of Jesus doesn't make you the people of God. I'll warn you. Okay? There's many in the church that claim Jesus Christ, but they don't do what he tells them. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Do you love Jesus? Because your life speaks to everybody who you love. And our lives, as Irene was elegantly putting today, should be reflecting the joy of knowing that I am saved. I am not going to be judged for my sins. I am going to be in his presence forever and ever. And he is going to bestow such treasures upon me that eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for us. It's too lofty for me to even imagine. But yet, he promises that I don't have to wait till I get there. I can begin to experience that reality now. In Matthew 16, verses 17 through 19, Jesus said, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He has given us the keys to operate, and I use that illustration about he's given us the keys, but we're not old enough to drive the car. Remember that teaching? I said, you know, we get into that car, we put the keys in there, we could start it, but we can't reach the pedals yet. So we pretend that we're driving the car, and we every once in a while we may hit the shifter, and we may go in reverse, or we may drive forward. But the bottom line is, we have the keys. And we lost the keys. When Adam and Eve sinned, we lost those keys. And upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he regained the title deed of earth, and he gave it back to us. That's what the Word of God says. So how do we invade? And what does this invasion look like? If he has given us the title deed to earth, then who owns it? Who owns it? We do. In him. Because he's the one that paid for it. We have the right to use it and establish only one thing. His church. That's the only thing that we have the right to. Everything else has been surrendered to him. And we'll talk about that later as we finish up about yielding. He says to us that the kingdom is suffering violence. And I've given you an illustration of how the church, even in the midst of all this attacking against us, the church is advancing. The church is growing. The church is glory. And God is inhabiting his church. Those who really want him. Those who are really seeking him. Those who really are hungering and thirsting after him. People like us. You may not think that you're hungering and thirsting, but you know what? God has told me different. And I believe him. What was he saying to Peter? Remember that Jesus was walking with him and he was asking him, who do men say that I am? They go through this whole thing. Oh, you're this guy, you're that guy. And Peter blurts out and says, you're the Christ. And Jesus said something that I don't think we pay enough attention to, because it is the basics of how we are to live, is that he said, Peter, no man's revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed to you. And Peter blurted out by faith in acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ. The kingdom operates by two things. One, we have to operate by faith. The other thing is by revelation. And by that I mean, our circumstances and our situations that we are in right now doesn't amount to a hill of beans to the truth of what God says in his word. If we're talking blessings upon each other, guess what? Blessings come upon us. If we're talking negative and cursing ourselves, oh, why is this happening to me? Oh, all these things are happening to me. I don't know why. Out of the mouth is life and death. I'd rather speak life. I'd rather speak faith. And it takes faith to speak life. That's why Jesus continued to say to Peter that through this revelation, I'm going to build my church. How is this church built? This church is built by individuals like you and me going out there, listening to the Holy Spirit, who's pricking our hearts, to be bold enough to speak truth to somebody who is in need to hear it. Not the world's truth. Not scientific truth. God's truth. God's truth. But pastor, I'm not an evangelist. That's not what Jesus said. He said, go. Well, I'm not gifted in speaking. I've heard you speak about everything under the sun except about the righteous one who died for you and died for me. If you could speak about football, baseball, fantasy football, what's on TV, what's not on TV, you could speak to someone about Jesus Christ. It's not hard. And be truthful with you, they're dying to hear it. They really are. They're dying to hear the truth. And the reality of this truth is you may not know the scriptures. You may not know chapter and verse. But you are to know Jesus Christ individually. And it is the church's responsibility collectively to be a local representation of Jesus Christ to our community. That's the priority. And the church is to go and take the land. Luke 19 says, Jesus was speaking and he said, he called his 10 servants, this is part of a parable, and delivered to them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Now the word occupy is a really neat word. It means to do business. It means to conduct military exercises against the enemy. Which one do you think Jesus was talking about? He was talking about conducting military maneuvers by invading the kingdom of darkness with the love of God, preaching the message of repentance or forgiveness. That's our job. And Jesus breaks it down to the individual. He breaks it down. He says, I've given you 10 talents, and this one got 10 more. This one had 5, and he got 5 more. But there was one that hid their talents. In other words, he didn't do business. He wasted what God had given to him on himself because he was afraid of God. How can you be afraid of God? God is for us, not against us. He's the one that died for us. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who's going to reward us. He's the one that has a plan for a future for us. And we don't want to do what he says to do when he paid for us? He wants us to conduct business. He wants us to invade this land. Now, in this evasion, there has been some unbalanced or imbalanced teaching going on. One side of the teaching is, you know what? You just got to muddle through until Jesus comes for us or we die. You just accept it, you know. I say hogwash. You have the other extreme that says, whoa, you know, God is so good. Just name it. Claim it. Grab a hold of that promise and stand on it. And God will do it. And then they use all these scriptures. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will do it for you. Kind of like the genie in a box. You know, okay, Jesus, do this for me. The balance of that teaching is both ends are correct, but they're not wholly true. The truth of the matter is that we are to persevere in this life. But we have the power. We have the power in Jesus Christ to create and divert history. You are history makers. You have a divine destiny in Jesus Christ to fulfill. And it is my responsibility to help you become all that you can be in Jesus Christ so that you can do all you can do to expand his kingdom before he comes, because he wants his house full. And what we did Friday night was we took one out of darkness, and we began to start repopulating heaven. Each one of us should be actively praying, who, God, do you want me to speak to? And help me to win them to you. Give me the words. Give me what you want, Lord, because you know what's going on in their lives. I don't. You've given me a bunch of gifts and talents. I want to use them to further your kingdom. Now, in order for the church to occupy, she has to understand what her weapons are. And her weapon, her chief weapon, is to love people the way God loves people. You see, to invade, the definition of invading is to go in to a land, to take possession of it. It's an aggressive incursion into an area. And that's how the world is. I'm going to make it this time. That's how the world is. We are to aggressively go into people's lives, seeking out who is open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that only comes through our relationships. Well, I don't know anybody, Pastor. Well, then you need to get out there and start building some relationships. You have something that they're going to go to hell not hearing. And God gave it to you to give to them. The problem is because we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, because we love ourselves too much, it reflects that we don't love God. And in streams, I've emphasized the importance that you start loving God so you can love your neighbor, because if you understand that God loves you unconditionally, you can love your neighbor as yourself. And as we go, we take one from here, one from there, one from over there. We're actually adding to the church. But God is not into addition. He's into multiplication. Okay? And when we get off of this mindset of just one or two, three or four and no more, we have missed the boat. Because you see, this is a team effort now that I'm preaching. Individually, we will be rewarded. As a team, I believe God will reward us. He will call streams of life forward, and He will reward us according to the good deeds that we've done in His name. And those who have sat by on the sidelines and figured that they're going to get rewarded the same, they will not. Because then it comes down to the individual. Everybody may receive a medal, but there are those who receive something more for their valor and courage. Isn't that how it operates in the military? It most definitely does. Those are highly rewarded. Those are highly exalted. And those God will do with us too. Many in the church are still struggling with their lives and with sin issues that inhibit them from being effective in the kingdom. Why? They have not understood how the kingdom operates, nor do they care to, because their lives reveal a contrary heart. And because of these extreme teachings, we have this mindset that is improper in the church of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, you can't tell me what to do. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I have all authority in Jesus' name. I choose to love you through your sin. Not tell you what to do, but help you through it. Now, it's time for the church to begin to be put together, assembled. Remember I said there was a time where I was laying a foundation for all of us. And soon God was going to begin to start erecting streams. We are at that place. We are at that place. You see, these extreme teachings exonerate a person from personal responsibility. And before God, you are personally responsible for your actions, your thoughts, your speech. And you will be rewarded accordingly. How are we going to take the land? I'm glad you guys asked me that, because it makes me sure that you're awake and I'm not boring you to tears. The book of Joshua is an interesting book, but it is the outline of how the church is to work to take the land or take possession of our inheritance. We don't have to wait till we get there. We can have it now. You believe that? Did Joshua conquer all the land by himself? No, he didn't. How did he conquer that land? All of Israel went in and took it. Right? Some received their inheritance. Some continued to fight. Some never did receive their portion. Did not mean that it wasn't theirs. They didn't understand the importance of fighting to the end and then fighting to keep it. You see, we can do the first part. We can fight to take it. We have not learned to fight to keep it. It's our responsibility, with God's help, to possess the land. When we go to a name it and claim it theology, what we do is we lose our ability to take responsibility. We claim the promise, but in claiming that promise, we don't receive the promise, because we don't do or fulfill the condition that's put on that promise. Well, Pastor, God's love is unconditional. Absolutely. But His promises, most of them have conditions tied to them. And we look at ourselves and we're wondering why God isn't blessing us. And the easy resolve into the question is, have you met the condition? Case in point, if you're having financial distress, Jesus said, not me, Jesus said, give and it'll be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken to overflowing. What's the condition of the promise? You got to give first. What we believe is we receive first and then we'll give. But you see, we operate from a different authority. We operate from a different kingdom. We have different rules in which we operate. We no longer operate like the world. We're supernatural people who need to operate through supernatural means. And we don't have is because we don't want to meet the conditions that God has put on there for us to come in. Well, God can't tell me what to do. Hey, you got free will. You can do whatever you want. How's it working for you? Really? I had a conversation with a couple of fellows the other day, and they were saying, well, Pastor, you know, people look at you and they see the success you have. I said, I have the success because they forget that I'm 30 years walking with God. I went through what they're going through. And until I yielded to do what God has ordained, I would probably still go around the mountain one more time. When I was single and going around the mountain, it didn't affect me too much. When my family was going around the mountain with me, it begins to taste a little bit different. And as I said to him, I wasn't going to drag my family around Kadesh Barnea one more time. I'm going to do what God said to do. And from that, God has blessed us richly. Why? Because we take what Jesus said at face value and we do what he tells us to do and we get blessed. We just get blessed. And we pass those blessings on. We don't keep them. We give them away. And because God wants to see his kids living like that, he blesses them with more. And because he's blessed me, I can give more. He's meet my needs, so I just keep giving. I give to missions. I give to streams. Do you know that I'm not supposed to tithe to my storehouse? Do you know that? I'm part of your storehouse. You're to tithe and take care of me. But I tithe to the storehouse because I want to show you a principle that's active in my life. I am to tithe to the network. And the network has been gracious with me in understanding the condition of our church being young. And this is the warfare that we're fighting. We're fighting against an enemy that is sitting there and we're listening to him and not listening to God. And as I described to you before, we're inviting all this nonsense into our homes. We're part of the problem. Well, God understands. Yeah, he understands and he tells us. That's not good for you. If you're an addict, do you continue doing the same thing you did after you go to rehab and get cleaned up? No, you're supposed to change your life so you don't get swept back into it. But the church doesn't, I could still do this. I could, well, guess what? There's mercy, there's grace, and then God's direct dealings with individuals. And some of you have wore out your grace, you're into mercy, and some of you have wore out mercy, and now you're being directly involved with God. That's how God does it. He's real serious about us. And he's real serious about our discipline. You see, Joshua met good success, one, because he was in the Word, two, he did what the Word said to do. He was completely obedient to God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10, please. It's real important. If we're going to occupy, okay, God is getting ready to plant us into something. In 1 week's time, God changed the pastor's thinking and he gave us a proposal that is now what we start with. In 1 week's time. Do you think God is for us? I do believe he's for us. I do believe God is going to do this thing, but we have a responsibility to do our thing. And do it righteously. Do it in the kingdom's way of doing things. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 2 through 6. This is Paul speaking to the church of Corinthians. I beg you that when I come to you, I may not be so bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we still live by the standards of this world. What's he saying? There's some people still think that they could still do whatever they want to do, and it'll be fine. And he's telling them, when I get there, I'm going to straighten your wagon out. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And if we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. What's he saying here? Anybody have an idea what he's saying? It's real simple. He's combating do as I say, not as I do. That's what he's combating. He's telling us that that is wrong thinking. To think that you can access and do the things of God in carnal ways is totally wrong. You're 180 degrees out of sync. And to think that you still can is okay. You will not meet success. And he promises that he will come and he will talk to those individuals about how they think about things and bring their thinking around to where they become obedient, not to Paul, but to God, so that they can benefit from that. And once their obedience is complete, now we'll deal with the sons of disobedience. And who are the sons of disobedience? All them out there. You see, and I've said this, you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts anymore because of what's going on. Why would somebody want to come to Jesus Christ when we still have the same problems as they do? Do you know that when Israel left Egypt, they were one of the wealthiest nations out, and there was no one sick, no one lame, no one had any infirmity about them. They were totally made whole by God. He brought them out of Egypt and made them whole and wealthy. How's your thinking? You see, you've got to start your thinking to get in line with just on the one rail. We're on a two-rail system here. The individual, church. Eventually, it's all going to go monorail. Then it's church and God, which is synonymous. We can take individuals and we can win individuals, but as a collective unit, military unit, church, whatever, all of us should be winning the lost as much as possible. It is the church of Jesus Christ that will win cities and territory. See, my job, my next part of my job is now start building these relationships with these other churches so that we can start infiltrating cities. We're going to take this land. And when we take this land, with the help of other churches, that's when the church begins to start to arise. You see, Israel had 12 tribes, but all 12 tribes went in to help everyone take their inheritance. We're not going to do this just by streams alone. Anybody remember that story where Jesus told Peter to go out and go fishing? And he says, Lord, Lord, we were out there fishing all night and we caught nothing. And he says, well, just throw the nets on the other side. And what Peter say? Man. He's telling me what to do. You believe it? This guy's on the beach. I've been fishing all night long. He's telling me what to do. All right. At your word, I'll do it. And he throws the nets over. And what happened? He needed help to pull the nets in. There was so great a catch. And that's what we're talking about. You see, this next move of God is going to have the church to arise, the world church of Jesus Christ, the true believers of Jesus Christ, of which you are part of. And we're going to cast the nets down when he tells us. And we're going to take a city. We're going to take the territory around the city because the catch is so good. Evil people will be destroyed. God will expose them, get rid of them, so that righteous people can go in and begin to rule. You have been destined to rule and reign as kings and priests by your God. Everybody should have been shouting, going crazy. That is your destiny. And mine too. You don't believe it. That's the problem. That may be too far a stretch for you right now, but that's the truth. Didn't he say, well, you've been faithful in this, I'll give you three cities to rule. Didn't he say that? You've been faithful in the five things, I'll give you five cities to rule. And we're playing around with pauper stuff, and he wants to give us something so great, so immense, that you have been created for. You've been created for a time as this. You're not to wallow in your garbage. You're to invade. You're to go forward and kick in the gates of hell. Because Jesus is building the church. He's with us. He's leading us. And when he looks behind, does he see you there with him? My hope today is not to make you feel inferior or anything like that. My hope today is to express to you that there is even a greater vision than what you know of. It's great to have a vision that, you know what, my kids are going to get saved and all, but that's not big enough. It's good to be involved in missions or intercessory prayer or something like that. That's great, but it's not big enough. It may be good to be involved in men's ministry or women's ministry, you know, and invite ladies to come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ, but that's not big enough. You know what's big enough? Start speaking what God says. Start believing what God says, because it's true. Everything that he has said that is coming upon the land or has come upon the land, he said 2,000 years ago. And it's coming. He's coming. I don't know about you. I'm excited about these things. I'm excited of the opportunities that God has brought us to a network of people who have similar thinking. I'm excited about the opportunities for our ladies to go to Louisiana and sit under some really divine anointed women who have a vision of what God wants to do with you guys. We've tasted it. The guys have tasted it. We've been part of Banner Brothers. We've got to go back and get our fix. I don't know about you. I mean, our syringes are starting to run dry. We need more of the Spirit of God shot into us. Can you imagine? Begin to imagine greater purposes for your life. Can you imagine yourself not just working in a business, but being the owner of a business, influencing Muslims who come to work for you and turn them to Jesus Christ? Atheists who hate God with a passion come to Jesus Christ. Working in town council, working in the Senate, working as President of the United States. Can you imagine this? Better start, because it's coming. The kingdom of God is not just for our salvation. That's the beginning. The kingdom of God is not to preach just forgiveness. That is our job. The kingdom of God is to drive darkness from the face of this planet so that our Father, who is sovereign, Lord of heaven and earth, can come and manifest himself to his people in all glory, and all power, all majesty. And we have the opportunity to bend our knee and do that willingly. We're going to see those who are going to bend their knee, praise God, unwillingly, and then there will be no more. And don't construe that I'm happy about that. My heart breaks that they are so stubborn that they don't want to hear the truth. And there are a people that fills this world that don't believe. It's our job to pull down those arguments, those vain imaginations, pull those things down, so that they would come to hear the truth about God's surrender terms and become part of his family. Amen? Father, we just rejoice in you, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you have predestined us to invade this land. You have predestined us to take this land, to occupy it, to win the lost, influence the world for your glory, God. The things that we're suffering is because we are stepping out in faith, God. And the enemy wants to hit us at every turn. And we say, bring it. We are not stopping. We are moving forward. Bring it. Take your best shot at us. Because when you throw a punch, you're hitting Jesus Christ. And he took everything that you could stand. And now you're going to take it from his church. We're going to kick in the gates. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people healed. We're going to see people raised from the dead. We're going to see this because Jesus said, for those who believe, these will be the signs that follow them. We are a people that believe, Lord. Help us in the areas of our unbelief so that we can get on the program, God. Father, let us live as dead men, but alive unto you, God, to fulfill your will in this land. That we would turn away the tides of evil. That we stand up the standard of Jesus Christ as evil comes in to flood this land for no good. Let us be men and women of courage, Father. Embolden us to speak even louder as the days grow darker, God. As they grow darker, let us burn even brighter. That a people will be drawn to you, Jesus, because they will not see us, they will see you. May your church and rise and shine and be that city on a hill that would beckon all those who are still in darkness to come. Come to you, Lord, so that they may be healed, that they may be forgiven, and that they may be brought into the family. Lord, I thank you for streams. I thank you for your patience for us. I thank you for your abundant grace and mercy that you have laid upon us, God. We have so much to learn and so much to catch up on, God, but in your timing. I pray blessings upon your people, God. Blessings upon their minds, blessings upon their jobs, blessings upon their health, Lord God. Blessings in the time that they're praying, God, seeking your will, praying, Father, for the nation, praying for those who are in leadership. Praying for the intercessors, God, who are faithfully dispatching and seeking your will. Praying for the families that would raise their children godly, Lord. That we would be an example to the world, God. That we will no longer tolerate the infiltration of the garbage into our homes, God, but we would stand firm, Father, and stand for righteousness and holiness. As you have driven it out of my home, God, Father, drive it out of the other homes. That they may arise and have the blessings from heaven as you have so generously given to me and to my family, God. I pray an abundance for them, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.